Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy.
Good morning.
May. I think now we're going to be airing this one. It'll be, should be Wednesday the 8th, I think, right?
I think we're on May 7th. I think we're Tuesday
Oh,
the
sorry.
7th.
Yeah. Tuesday the 7th, yep.
Yeah.
One of those first weeks in May, and hopefully, I just, by the way, you know, in Colorado, ski season goes, you know, from basically, you know, November, which skiing isn't really good in November, a lot of times not even in December at Christmas, a little bit, and then January, February, March, April, it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I remember, and, you know, this was 30 years ago, but A Basin in May, you still had good skiing.
Yeah, yeah, because it's so high and and they have good snowstorms up there.
Right.
So this last weekend, you know, as we approach the end of the season, I like to go up and kind of do one last hurrah to be able to do it. And we have one of our leaders, you know, Heath and Rebecca have a condo up at Beaver Creek.
And that's ski out, right? You go right
in,
out.
Ski in, ski out.
That's awesome.
And so they're gracious enough to, you know, let us use it periodically when they have open dates, and we do. And so we got to go up there this whole weekend and for 4 or 5 days and ski. Because it's at the end of the season, it's not busy at all. So
that's so much nicer, right?
and they've had great snowstorms and great snows, and it hasn't been warm up there. So it's not slushy at all. It's
right.
Typical,
oh, nice.
Typical powder snow. So I got to go, and Beaver Creek has one mountain that has a long lift to a place toward the top, and then you can ski down for quite a while, and you know, get back and forth. And they had groomed it really, really well. I mean,
nice.
Really well. I mean, it was one of those just moments where it was just perfectly groomed, and that means, and by the way, it was a black called the Black Hill, which is steep,
right?
But it's groomed, and I like going fast, so it's perfect. I can go on a groomed slope fast. So, but because there was,
well, Linda watches from the bottom. She does not hop out that black slope with you.
No, she's not going on the black slope. I was able to go, and so I went early, and I skied like 7-8 runs every single time, because there wasn't many people out there. It was like being the first one out every single time. So it didn't get skied off.
Yeah.
It was still that groomed, what they call the corduroy look.
Right.
And so it was.
I can picture it.
It was one of those spectacular moments.
Oh, that's awesome.
Of blessing, of skiing, of something that was just great joy, great fun. I didn't fall.
Yay.
And that's a good thing.
No trees,
you know. And we just had a great time, and it was fantastic. And so then we finished and drove back down. And when we get back down to Denver, it's, you know, 65 degrees. And so it was like.
And sunny,
you know. Yeah. And so it was like, okay, spring is here. Skiing's over. You're done. So I went home, you know, and I took all my ski clothes. And then I have winter coats. I have, you know, cashmere coats, et cetera. And I just piled them up and took them to the cleaners. Like, okay, the winter's over. We get to go into the nice, beautiful time now, and then we don't have to have any of these big, heavy coats anymore. So it's kind of an amazing thing in Colorado that you know, we're really now into the, particularly as we head into May, it'll start to get really, and we might even have another snowstorm or so, but it won't last. It won't be much. So.
Right. Right. Yeah. See, New Hampshire, we're a bit of, it, you know, we're still back and forth at this point in the game. Yeah. You know, sometimes it is absolutely stunningly beautiful, but our spring is not a true spring. It's a few days of teasers and then a few days of very cold and wet and a few days of teasers and a few days of cold and wet. Most baseball games, Joshua played baseball all growing up, and most of the baseball season, we were sitting under blankets that we kept in our car. While my friends would post pictures of baseball season with sunscreen and sunglasses and sleeveless shirts. I'm like, that is just not what we get to do.
when does it start to get warmer where it doesn't feel so cold?
Where it doesn't flip-flop? It depends on the year, but usually June will start. I mean, we get snippets of it throughout May, and we will open our pool in time for Memorial Day, but we'll have to have the heater cranked. And when you step out of the pool, it may still be cold. So
that's something. Well, we've been talking about hearing God's voice, and we spent the last couple of times talking about the check in your spirit and the ability to just pay attention, because he says, I'll give you confirmation. You know, and when you do get a check-in in your spirit, he said, pay attention. Let me walk you to unity and confirmation. And then I guess when you bring in another party, and the neat thing is that he says, I'll get you to where you're confirmed, both with another person like your spouse or your inner circle that will say, you know, I am confirming that, because their spirit is at peace and about it. They're not getting a check-in, by the way.
Right.
And then ultimately, it's if it has to do with a will for me, I have to have that peace in my heart of confirmation. And you just stay with it until you do. And then the other party, Linda and or my inner circle, we all say we're confirmed. Now it goes from, you don't need to wonder about it, because now you know the next step to take. Go take the next step.
Right.
And God will lead you and direct you. And you can have confidence in that. And that's why why the checking is so critical, is that if we're taking a wrong step, he's going to check you and say, no, this isn't yet right.
Right.
And pursue it. And think about a little toddler. You know, and by the way, in Romans, it says, you know, we have the heart of a toddler. A toddler doesn't say, am I doing it right? Am I doing it right? Am I doing it right? I got to get it right. You know, it's just, they know. If they're not.
Right.
You're going to let them know. No, you know, that's not really what I intended you to do. No, you're not. No, we're not doing that. You know, but the responsibility is the parent, not the child.
Right.
And God says, that's me. You know, my responsibility is to get you on the right path. If you're not, which is okay, I'll check you.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, and I'll talk to you, you know, and again, I'll reinforce it. And it is a practicing. And by the way, the neat thing is he'll train you in it. Mm-hmm. And usually what it means is you get the check, you overrule it and you go forward and then you see the consequence of that. And you kind of are brought to remembrance of, you remember, you know, 3 days ago when I checked you and you didn't pay attention to it, that was me.
Right.
And the next time, you know, pay more attention, you know, and it's a learning process that is beautiful. And that's why he said he's not condemning you. I just got to show you to trust it. And the more you trust it, keep going. And even when you're not sure, like I'm kind of troubled, but I'm not sure at the moment. He said, that's okay. Come a little bit further. Come a little bit more with me. I'll confirm it for you. And you'll know that you know. And this little troubling was just a little element of the flesh. It wasn't important, but trust me and let me do it. Don't take the pressure on yourself. I'll do it. Don't worry. You know? And so it's beautiful. So one of the questions that comes up as we, you know, keep thinking of, what about, is that, particularly where people have been part of what's called a prophetic ministry, where they've maybe even gone up, at a church service and somebody spoke over them, or they were in a small group and somebody spoke over them, here's a word, or they think they got a word,
right.
From God. And God said, here's what's I'm trying to show you, and you receive it and you feel okay about it. You feel good about it. But time has marched on.
Mm-hmm. And you haven't seen the fruit of it yet.
And you haven't seen it fulfilled. And there's a wondering, am I supposed to stay here, and how come it didn't get fulfilled? And I thought God said, and you kind of what I call get stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, I don't want to move differently because I'm waiting for this to happen, but it ain't happening.
Mm-hmm.
You tend to make your own decisions about it. And it can drift all the way from, well, I guess I missed it. I guess I didn't hear right. I guess, you know, God isn't going to do it. I must have done something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the heck with it. I just give up on it. Or, well, I heard, and it ain't happening. So I'm going to, you know, by faith, I'm going to stay here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not moving. And I'm going to wait, you know, and when God fulfills it, then I'll know what to do next. And both of those reactions, interesting enough, is where you're operating in the flesh. You have a heart. You have a heart for it, but you're actually operating in the flesh. So let's look at a verse, and then we'll come back to this whole discussion. It's kind of important for moving forward. So Philippians 3, 10 to 15, this is Paul.
Sure. It says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Therefore, keep going.
No, keep going. Yep.
Okay. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you.
Yeah. He said, you know, I love how the scripture is so beautiful. And like, if you don't get this, don't worry. God will let you know.
Yes.
You know, and it's kind of a beautiful thing that the pressure is on him, not on me. You know, I just have a heart to receive it. But Paul says that my heart is to apprehend, take hold of what God has taken hold of me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, let's go to the simplicity of this. When Jesus first met his disciples, his invitation was, the kingdom of God is here.
Mm-hmm.
Come and see.
Right.
Come and follow me. Come and see. Come experience it.
Mm-hmm.
He says that as we're walking in the kingdom, and this is, you know, we had this discussion yesterday about Peter and his trying to make his own decision about Christ. And he said, get behind me, Satan. You don't have the things of God in mind. You have the things of men. And then he goes on to say this. If anybody wants to come after me, you have to deny self, go to neutrality, believe what I've done at the cross, giving you the opportunity to walk with me, and basically come follow me.
Right.
Okay, so when Paul says that I yearn to join what God has apprehended me for, what has God apprehended him to do? To join him and walk with him.
Right.
He said, I got to learn not to figure out, you know, what all I'm supposed to do, but rather I got to apprehend that God has apprehended me to walk with him. And he's got a path for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unique to me. And there's lots of beautiful scripture about that in Hebrews. You know, chapter 12, it says, run your own race. God's got a race for you, got a course for you. He's ready to lead you on your unique path. It's unique to you, but you'll join him in him leading you on that path. So the goal that Paul says, I want to be on that path.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, there's one thing I've learned. Okay, now think about Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Did he learn more than one thing?
Yeah. I'd say there's a few.
He says, of everything that I've learned, and of course I've written all these books about what mm-hmm. I've learned. Okay. But one thing that mm-hmm. is important that I've learned, if I'm going to stay on this path,
mm-hmm.
I got to let go of the things behind and move on to the high calling of Christ Jesus. And so think about it is every day, every moment, every week, every month, you're at a place somewhere
right.
in your life, you know, with things mm-hmm. things happening, transformation, decisions, all kinds of things that you're working on. But you're at this spot.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul basically says, don't stay stuck in that spot,
mm-hmm.
but keep moving forward.
Right.
And by the way,
day by day, moment by moment, walking with God.
don't even spend any energy on what happened and how come mm-hmm. and why not. The question, and basically this is what he's saying, is always, how about now? What about now?
Mm-hmm.
What do you have to say to me now? I'm here. In all purity, I want to do what? Stay on your path.
Right.
Okay, now one thing about that, when you think of path, and you have, I think you have paths out in your woods behind you, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so when you go out,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to go for a hike on my path, what do you do?
You just get on the path and walk, and when you get to a crossroad, you turn one way or another. Yeah. It's one step in front of the other.
Okay, so the key word you just said is you walk.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, well, I know the path is there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to just stand here and think about mm-hmm. the path, but I'm never moving anywhere. No, if you're going, right. if you're on the path, by definition, you're walking.
Right.
What are you doing? You're walking forward. Now, there's mm-hmm. decisions to make, and there's forks in the road, and you can go right or go left, and there's all kinds of ways to move it. But God says, follow me
mm-hmm.
on what? I'll direct your steps.
Right.
The word is I'm going to move you on my pathway, on my way, on my road. And that means you're moving.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when? Always.
Right.
Now, it doesn't mean that I'm rushing. And there's a lot of times where I said, okay, I want you to rest here.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to take a break. I want you to lead you beside still water. You're at a fork in the road, and I know you don't know which way to take.
I need you to ask me.
So,
yeah.
So we'll process. We might be at this fork for a while
because mm-hmm.
you're going to have to process this with your spouse or with your inner circle, and you're not sure. Don't decide on your own.
Mm-hmm.
The movement here is spending time with me to guide you into the which way to go, but then we're going to go. There'll be right. a moment where we'll go. So the question comes up is that, well, what if I went to this place and had a prophetic word over me that said this is going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, if I liked what they said, I tend to get excited about it. Oh, mm-hmm. fantastic. You know, this is great. I'd love for that to happen. But it hasn't happened.
Right.
And if it's been, you know, a month or two, you're generally not worried about it at the moment. It's like, well, you know, it's going to take plenty of time. But this could be now a year later mm-hmm. or 2 years later. And what somebody said over me isn't happening.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the problem here? You know, and did I not hear? Usually they say, did I not hear God right? Have I missed it? Have I done something to make God angry at me and he's never going to deliver it?
Right.
And either we go to resignation meaning, I guess I just need to give it up.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm not moving until it happens.
Right.
Or
we try to force it to happen.
Or I'm going to go to, you know, how can I help God make it happen?
Yes.
I wonder, and Paul says, well, keep it simple and keep it beautiful, that at the moment you are at a certain spot.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be, what's the truth of that spot? And then the question, knowing that I'm supposed to let go of the past, mm-hmm. and move on to the high calling of Christ, and I want him to apprehend me, to move me as I follow him.
Mm-hmm.
God says, keep going back to the simplicity of the following part.
Right. That's good. That's so good.
I gotta follow you if you're taking me on a different path now.
Mm-hmm.
And that would, let's say that's true and I recognize it. What should be my heart?
To follow him on his path.
Let's go.
You know?
Well, let's go. Why? Well, because it's going to be spectacular, and it's going to be his way to deliver to me the grand covenant, beautiful mm-hmm. life that he promised me. I've come to give you life and give it to you super abundantly. And that, well, then I would like to be on that path. So what he says mm-hmm. is that don't get so stuck in your own thinking about what you thought was going to be happen, or what somebody said was going to happen, or what you believed was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Let it be fresh. And when Paul says, forget the things that lay behind, see, it includes that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, it evidently, what I thought, there's something amiss about that. Father, what do you have to say to me now? Now, by the way, if he says, actually, you got to wait just a little bit longer.
Right.
He'll let you know that.
Yeah.
He'll actually say.
And that's where you keep that dialogue going, right? Because yeah. there are times where, I think of Habakkuk, and he says, you'll write the vision, yeah. make it plain on tablets, for the vision is yet for an appointed time.
Right.
And sometimes there is a long liminal space between the promise and the deliverance of the promise, right?
Yeah.
So there is that. And then I even am reminded, we have such a good picture of this with Mary. You know, Mary was given this prophetic of what was going to be, her son and who he was going to be.
Yeah.
And she treasured that in her heart. She didn't then go run out and say, oh, I better go get pregnant. Oh, I better go do this. I better. She treasured in her heart what she was told and believed it and walked step by step as God led her into mothering the Messiah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the steps were being fulfilled because she realized that she was pregnant because she had to tell Joseph that. So
right.
things were happening.
Right. There were steps that happened, yeah. but in that she's treasuring that and just walking the path day by day in full surrender to him as he brings it about.
That's right. That's right. Including, they had to flee, to go to mm-hmm. Egypt, and, I'm sure they didn't want to do that, but God said, well, that's my will.
Right.
Well, I thought you were giving me the Messiah and everything's going to be great. He said, it's going to be great, but right now you're going to have to go to Egypt.
Right. And it looks different than what you think.
That's it. Yeah. And we have another example with Abraham, where he was promised, I'm going to give you, mm-hmm. make you father of all the nations and you will have a son. And they weren't having a son. And they had gotten to the point where evidently Sarah was in menopause and she's not going to even have any more fertilization going on, and he's getting too old. And they said, well, since it isn't happening, mm-hmm. let's go make it happen.
Right.
Hey, go have Hagar and have a boy, a kid with Hagar, and that will be the answer. Isn't that a good idea?
Right.
And now this is important. Did God stop them?
No.
No. It wasn't like, no, you're making a mistake. There was probably a checking that went on that they ignored.
That they probably ignored, right?
But he didn't overrule it. They made a mistake, and they have Hagar. They have Ishmael, and God says, that's not him.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. You made a mistake. You didn't come and ask me.
Right.
We thought you said.
Mm-hmm.
Is that still true? And they had a legitimate question.
Right.
And he would have said, yep, it is still true. Stay with it. Trust me, stay with it. Mm-hmm. But they didn't. They went and acted on it. See?
Right. And that's, we find ourselves in trouble all the time when we decide we need to help God make his will come to pass.
Right.
Versus right. just walking with him, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And so that, is it okay that I thought something was going to happen? I thought God said, I thought that this was God's path. But the question is, where are you today? Mm-hmm. And the next question is for you to go to God and say, what do you have to say to me now? Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna let the past dictate my next step. Mm-hmm. And if you want me to go do something else, or you have something else for me, and if you're going to highlight to me what happened, and it's important for you to know that, you'll do it. Maybe you'll say, don't even worry about it. Mm-hmm. Just let it go. Don't look at what you did or didn't do or what happened or what didn't happen. But now I want to move you here. And then let's next time when we talk about this, by the way, I do want to talk about the paths, because a little subset of this is that I'm at a fork in the road, mm-hmm. and God says, take the left one. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I take the left one, and I go down the path, and it gets blocked.
Mm.
I thought you said the left one. I did. Yeah, but I can't go anywhere else. I'm done. I'm blocked. He said, yeah, I know. I have a whole new thing for you to do now. And it actually is closer to the one on the right than it is on the left. But I didn't need you to go down there because the timing wasn't right. And so we want to talk about mm-hmm. all that, because people get stuck even right. in the short term of, well, this is the path and I'm on the path. And then God stops it and actually moves me back a different way. Mm-hmm. And how come?
Right. And that causes us to question the did we hear right and all of these things too, right?
Right. So we'll bring this whole thing together, both on the long and the short term, because it is important as we're hearing his voice. And the neat thing is, is he said, just keep trusting me mm-hmm. and don't worry, even if you've missed it. I can make all things work together for good, even when you take the wrong path.
Mm, but, so good.
But don't stop. Mm-hmm. Following me, basically. Think about that. Right. Just don't right. stop following me. Don't worry. I'll get you there. So Heavenly Father, mm-hmm. we thank you for what Paul wrote, the one thing that he learned. He said, of everything I've learned, this is really critical to live life, and that's to forget the things that lay behind. We'll talk more about that and how to press on to the high calling of Christ Jesus, which is following you into the beautiful life that you have for us. So we just pray that we'll open ourselves up to that. We won't get stuck. And we'll have a heart to hear, follow, and know that you'll guide us. And we praise you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Rich. And thank you for joining us, everyone. If you have questions, send them in to us at questions@abideministry.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.